Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. Glory to God. Even as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Praise the Lord. Those are the words. The song of Moses, it is called, you know, out of Deuteronomy 32. The first four verses. That's Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Well, let's get on with the series. What is this series that we've been talking about? It is called Let My People Go, that they may serve me. Praise the Lord. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Today is part four of that series. Hallelujah. Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word. Brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine in our hearts. Give us understanding. Speak with us even today. Let us understand and hear what the Spirit is saying even at this hour to the church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. The reason we are doing this series is because the Lord called for the month of rest, which means he's got to bring us out of the negativity of captivity. And he's got to get us out of bondage and give us rest. In order for people to have rest from their hard labors and from bondage, we look at this story, you know, and see what we learn from the story Exodus in the Bible. The greatest story that depicts people coming out of bondage into liberty, into the promise of God. You know, so there are many elements of this story. We have looked at how God called Moses after he ran away from Egypt, trying to, you know, rectify social injustice that he saw, and ended up killing an Egyptian and ran away. You know, and it was in the backside of the desert, got into Midian and all of that. And God called him and sent him back. We've listened to the dialogue between him and the Lord, and we've seen how he got to the children of Israel and tried to persuade them that the God of their fathers has spoken to him and given a word of hope for him to tell them that they're coming out of Egypt. And then again, how he has gone up against Pharaoh, he and his brother Aaron, and the things that they began to say to Pharaoh and the Pharaoh's response. How that Pharaoh in turn made the life of the people even worse and added more burdens unto them, etc. And how the people started to grumble and even hate Moses and say, look at what you've done to us. Our situation was bad before, but you've made it worse. Now Pharaoh will not give us straw. He will not give us anything for bricks. And yet he's telling us we got to make the same number of bricks that we made before. All because of what you did. And so, you know, Moses himself is in a strait. You know, Pharaoh will not let the people go. The children of Israel will not listen to him. You know, and then the Lord keeps telling him, go back to Pharaoh and tell him. So, that's where we are, and we pick up this story in chapter 7 of Exodus, chapter 7 and verse 1. So this is where we pick up today's story. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Now, the Lord said, you will speak all that I command you. Now, that's a lesson for us also. When the Lord commands us anything, to speak to anyone, he doesn't want us to hold back his words. Speak all that I command you, the Lord said. You will speak them, even you and your brother, you will speak them to Pharaoh. That Pharaoh should send the children of Israel out of his land. But hear what God also said furthermore. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh will not, he shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Now, the Lord knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to let the people go. Furthermore, the Lord said, I will actually even harden his heart. Yet he began to tell Moses, or he continued to tell Moses, to speak to Pharaoh, to let them go. I mean, this is like, you know, I mean, it's confusing. I mean, this would have been confusing to Moses. You said this man's not going to let us go. We know he's not going to let us go. At one time, even Moses, the closing chapters of, closing verses of chapter 6 that we just exited from, again telling the Lord that, look, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. How in the world is Pharaoh going to listen to me? So he's faced with this situation, and, but God keeps telling him, well, you do and say what I tell you to do. And I'm going to bring signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. And the people will know that I am the God of Israel. You know, at this time, Moses and Aaron went back to Pharaoh and spake the words again. And the scripture says that Moses was 80 years old at that time. And Aaron was 83 years old, Aaron being his older brother, 3 years older than he. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron thy brother, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now, this is the beginning of the throwdown in Egypt. So far, it was just God saying something, Pharaoh retaliating by making the lives of the people harder and so forth. Now, God's going to now begin to show some signs and wonders. And we're going to look at some of the elements of these signs and wonders that God told Moses to do in front of Pharaoh. And so Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. The Lord already showed him how he's going to cast the rod and cast down his rod and how it's going to become a serpent. So he went down with Aaron unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down the rod before Pharaoh and before his serpents, and he became a serpent. Now, that didn't bother or scare those people at all. because, you know, they had various gods, you know, the serpent, the Nile, River Nile, and all these things were all the things they worshipped. You know, they worshipped the head of the serpent, they worshipped the River Nile, they worshipped all kinds of things. And when they saw, you know, this serpent, it didn't bother them at all. And Moses, you know, he's thinking in his heart that he did something. Pharaoh said, look, this is a cheap trick. Even my own magicians can do this. This is nothing. You know, so he called his magicians and his sorcerers, and they also did the same thing with their own enchantments. Now, listen to this. This is real, you know. This is not, you know, just illusion. This is real magic and enchantment and wizardry that these people did. Because they themselves, they were able to throw down their rods and it became a serpent just like Moses did. And it wasn't just some illusion. You know, people do magic tricks and illusion and so forth. This was real. These people were real sorcerers. And they had power to do these things. And Moses said, look, Pharaoh said, look, you know, if this is all your God has got, it is nothing. Even my sorcerers can do the same. But God was going to show them something. You know, so every one of those magicians and sorcerers and the wise men and so forth of Egypt, they came down. They all had their rods. They came down, they cast their rods. So now they've got dozens of snakes versus, you know, one from Aaron. You know, but the Lord showed them a sign. The real sign that the Lord wanted to show them was to disgrace their God, their own God, lowercase g. Because they worship these snakes and things and River Nile and everything. And so God was going to disgrace them. You know, so in a moment, it seemed like there was going to be a conflict. Those snakes were getting closer to Aaron's snake. Aaron's snake rose up above them all and swallowed all the others. Right? You know, swallow them up. And everybody was like, oh my goodness. Yep, swallow them up. So God was going to show them that, look, this thing that you trust in is nothing. God caused the serpent that came from Aaron's rod to swallow up the serpents that came from the rods of the sorcerers and the magicians. You know, and then, you know, Aaron took up his rod again. The serpent again, and it became a rod back in his hand, and all these other serpents were gone. But, you know, the people said, well, whatever, you know, God had in their hearts nonetheless, and they still would not hearken. Pharaoh had in his heart even more, because the Lord was going to show even greater signs. See, if he had let them go at that first sign, then we would not have seen all the other remaining signs. So the Lord knew what he was doing, kept setting him up. And, well, the Lord said unto Moses then, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Moses is thinking, well, you know, now you tell me. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, you know, and so on. I said, now, what now? Because this man is not letting us go. And the Lord tells Moses, look, I'm going to tell you some other thing to do. You go down to Pharaoh in the morning. He's going out to the water. You know, when you get there, you stand by the river's brink as he comes. And the rod which was turned to a serpent, you should take in your hand. And you'll say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me. So that's the title of our series. And the Lord continued to cause Moses to pronounce this thing unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart continually. And he said, look, let my people go, that they may serve me. You know, and behold, hitherto thou would not hear. Now, thus said the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters that are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And all the flesh that are in there shall die. Now, God's coming up against the Lord God of Israel is coming up against the small g God of the Nile now. Now, first of all, he had disgraced their God of serpents and their sorcery. Now, over serpents and the like. Now he's going to disgrace their God of the Nile. You know, they worship the Nile. They go there, they talk to the Nile and do all these things. So now, Moses goes there. He takes the rod and they put it in the river after they declare to Pharaoh that, look, this water will be turned to blood before your eyes. And all the fish in the river will die and the river will stink. And the Egyptians will hate to drink the water of the river. That's where they used to go and fetch water and drink and do all these things. And the Lord spake unto Moses, said, take the rod and stretch it out over the waters of Egypt and over all their streams. The Nile was the source, but it broke up into many other rivers. You know, and upon their ponds and upon the pools of the water, they may become blood, and there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both vessels of wood, and even every vessel wherein there is water that was drawn from the Nile. When you do this, even the ones they have already drawn into their homes, the thing would turn into blood. God's coming up against this God of the Nile. Every portion of water that was drawn from the Nile, even though it's now in pots and vessels in their homes, when you touch this river, not only will the river turn into blood, everything before that came from this river, no matter where the water is now stored, will also turn into blood. They will not have anything to drink. Because at first, when Pharaoh saw that Moses turned the river into blood, said, this is nothing. You know, I'm going to go into my house and drink of the water. You know, and say, well, we already have wells that we can drink from. So this is nothing. You know, well, the Lord said, if that's what you think. So every place where they had collected water, the same thing turned into blood. And everywhere they went, they looked at their wells, it was blood. Then they dug new wells and it was still blood. Because the Lord is beginning to bring the plagues now. These are called the plagues of Egypt. You know, so God is bringing these plagues everywhere they turned. Everything that was in the past giving them source of water now gave them blood to drink. And they couldn't drink the blood. You know, and this thing happened for several days. Several days. As a matter of fact, I think it said 7 days or so. You know, and 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. So, for 7 days, their water was cut off. Everywhere they turned, it was blood. Now, that's the first of the plagues. And the Lord showed it to them. And they said, well, and even Pharaoh went into his house. He had his own special little thing. Small fountain of water there and so forth that they have built for him. You know, he had his own, you know, little swimming pool. He had everything. Everything that was water in Egypt turned into blood. Blood everywhere. But yet, Pharaoh would not humble himself before the Lord. In fact, you know, he got angry. And the Lord said unto him again, you know, sent Moses back to him after the 7 day plague of the waters being turned into blood. Now we go to chapter 8. The Lord sent Moses back to Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Now, if you are counting, this is about the fifth time that the Lord has said this, you know, to Pharaoh. This is the topic of this series. The Lord wants me to tell the Pharaohs and the Assyrians that have burdened down and battered down the people of God, let my people go, that they may serve me. Because the Lord has called for a time of liberation to get us out of the bondage, hard bondage, that the devil put over us, kind of like the story of the children of Israel. A month of rest, the Lord called for at the beginning of this month. I said, I will continue to remind you throughout the month. And he will make it come to pass. He called it also the beginning of months, meaning it won't stop there, you know, but it will start. Hallelujah. So Moses went back again to Pharaoh and said the same thing again. This time around, he said, look, and if you refuse to let them go, guess what I'm going to do next? And each one of these following plagues, the Lord will tell Moses what he will do. And Moses will tell Pharaoh what the Lord will do so that when it comes, Pharaoh will not think it was just happenstance. The Lord is the one that's calling it for. This is just happening by itself, because Moses will say it before he brought it forth. And so Pharaoh knew one after the other that these plagues were from the Lord. And so this time around, the announcement was about frogs. I will smite all your borders with frogs. Now the Egyptians, they hated frogs. You know, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. You shall go up upon thine house, come into thy bed chamber and thy bed, and in the house of thy servants, upon thy people, into thy ovens. And even their kneading troughs, you know, because they hated frogs. So God's going to bring this thing upon them that they hate. And the frogs shall come up upon thee. In fact, you know, the frogs, Egyptians hated those things. And upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And so the Lord said unto Moses, cause Aaron to stretch forth his hand over with the rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds. This time around, the water has returned to normal. The blood is gone now. The water has turned back. It's now looking normal. So the people are happy or relieved. They say, we can go back and drink. But the Lord said, not so fast. This time around, frogs are coming out of those waters and everything. And so Aaron stretched forth his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up, covered the whole land of Egypt. And so the magician said, well, okay, we can do the same. You know, let's, you know, so they go over here. They brought forth some frogs also upon the land. And Pharaoh said, look, it is nothing. Your God is a cheap magician. You know, all he can do is do these same things, nothing more than what my magicians can do. So what is it? Who is he that I should respect him? My magicians can do these same things. And the Lord said, we'll see about that. So that was the second, you know, of the plagues. But because the, you know, Pharaoh, actually, and his people, they hate these frogs. You know, the ones that the magicians brought up were actually, these were actually illusions, you know. And but they hate the frogs. They don't want to deal with any of these things. So Moses said to, Pharaoh said to Moses, entreat the Lord that he may take the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, because they hate these frogs. But he lied in his heart, you know. I will let the people go to do sacrifice that they are asking for unto their Lord. You know, but get these frogs away from me. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, well, you know, glory over me, you know. And when I shall entreat the Lord for you and for your servants to destroy the frogs on thy house, you know, shall they not remain in the river only? I mean, Moses is telling them, look, this thing, if we bring up frogs and you ask us to entreat the Lord and we entreat the Lord and the Lord remakes these frogs to retreat and disappear, then know that it is the Lord that he's doing these things. These frogs did not just come up by themselves, and they are not just going to disappear by themselves, you know. And, you know, but he said, yeah, just get them out of here, you know. So, you know, I said, okay, tomorrow it shall be according to thy word, that you may know, he said, Moses said to him, that there is none like the Lord our God. You know, I love these contests, you know. I love these contests. I mean, when you are up against magicians, when you are up against, you know, Pharaoh and his army, is a king of the world, so to speak, powerful, powerful monarch. And you have to go up and speak the word of the Lord. All you have in your hand is a rod, really. You know, and you have to come up time and time and time again with these powerful plagues over the land. It's a powerful story. You know, and the Lord, you know, Moses said to him, look, tomorrow these frogs will depart, just like you asked. But make sure, you know, that you know, remember that this was the Lord's doing, you know. And so the next day, you know, of course, you know, the frogs departed and they went back to the rivers. And Moses and Aaron, before that happened, they'd gone out from the Lord, I mean, from Pharaoh, and they went and cried to the Lord, you know, and the Lord took those frogs out that he had brought out against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and all the villages and all the fields. But yet, all the Egyptians still had to gather all those stinking dead frogs. They spent, you know, a few, some days gathering them all out of the land. And eventually, they cleaned up all the mess. And when they did, they gathered them into heaps. But the land was stinking because there were dead frogs everywhere. And finally, Pharaoh said, ah, all right. And we got rid of the frogs. So he hardened his heart again. You know, hardened his heart. Remember, the Lord had said he was going to do that. So he hardened his heart again. And he would not let them go. And they came back and said, you said you would let us go. He said, no. So the Lord said unto Moses again, and unto, you know, he says, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smack the dust of the land, that it may become like lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And so it's another thing, they hit it. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast and all the land. There's lice everywhere throughout the land of Egypt. And the magicians came and said, shh, nothing. So Pharaoh told his magicians, said, look, lies, you can do that. You come out here and show this man. It's nothing. His God is a God of cheap magic. We can do the same. So they came out, magicians came out and did their enchantments to bring out lies, but they could not. Now God is beginning to make a separation now between the magicians, you know, and the power of God. They say, well, you know, you can do this. Come out here and just say some, you know, incantations and everything. Bring out lies just the same to show Moses that this is nothing. So they come out, they tried it, but they couldn't do it. You know, and they could not do it. So the magicians finally turned to Pharaoh and said, look, this one is the finger of God. We cannot go up against it. We can't do it. You know, this is the finger of God. We couldn't do it. I mean, we were able to, you know, do enchantments and make some small pools of water turn into blood. We were able to make some small enchantments, make some few frogs come out of here or there. But this one here, this is the finger of God. We can't match it. Now, from this point on, God is making a separation. And they told Moses, I mean, they told Pharaoh. But Pharaoh hardened his heart yet even the more. And he hardened his heart even more. And he hearkened not to any of his magicians, telling him, look, this is the finger of God. You can't go against this thing. Let it be. You know, no. He hardened his heart. But that's what the Lord had already said would happen. So, The saga continues. And the Lord told Moses again the next morning, go and stand before Pharaoh as he comes to the water and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Again, this is the same declaration to Pharaoh. And now God is going to throw something in his face. Or else, if you will not let my people go, this time around, I'm going to bring swarms of flies. That's another thing the Egyptians hated. Upon thee, thy servants, and all thy people, into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of the swarms of flies, and also the ground, wherever they are. And I will sever in that day. I will make a separation. Now, this is the part that I begin to like. I will make a separation, sever in that day, the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. That there will be no swarms of flies shall be there to the end. Glory to God. Thou may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people, and tomorrow shall this sign be. And so Pharaoh, you know, at this time, each time that Pharaoh would sit on his throne and Moses and Aaron would appear, it was like, what again? I already told you. Get away from me. I'm not letting them go anywhere. You know. And they will say another thing, and Pharaoh will just harden his heart. And so the Lord did so. On the next morning, when they went and told Pharaoh, there was a grievous swarm of flies that came up into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and over the land of Egypt. And the whole land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Flies everywhere. Even when they, you know, it started with someone just sitting down at the table trying to eat. The next thing you know, flies all over the thing. Flies all over their water. Flies all over their head, their hands, everywhere. You know. And they couldn't even if you were to step somewhere, flies everywhere. They get off from this place, try to go into another room, flies everywhere. And so they're like, look, what are we going to do about these things? You know. So Pharaoh, he called for Moses and Aaron, said, look, go ye, sacrifice to God in your land. You know, and in the land of Goshen, that is, go and sacrifice where you are. But I'm not letting you go out of Egypt. And the Lord gave Moses wisdom. And he said, look, it is not proper. It is not meet for us to do so. Now, the Egyptians also, you know, they looked upon cattle and so forth as an abomination. That's why the Egyptians, they don't do cattle ranching and so forth. Or rearing like the children of Israel did. So he said, look, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians in their presence? I mean, will not the Egyptians, you know, kill us? You know, if we start sacrificing this abomination. Egyptians worshipped many things. You know, they worship all kinds of things. They have all this crazy stuff. The Nile, the snake, the hate the frog, you know, abomination, worship even the cattle. I mean, it's just all kinds of things they did. And Moses said, look, if we take one of these things, which is, you know, and they are going to kill us. You know, so we're not going to do it. Let us get away into the wilderness. Sacrifice to the Lord our God. He commanded us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go. That you may sacrifice to the Lord in the wilderness, but you will not go very far. Go and entreat the Lord from me and get rid of all these things. You know. So Moses said, well, I'll go out and I will entreat the Lord from you and the flies will depart from Pharaoh. But look, do not deceive us again, saying I will let them go and then you don't let us go. Let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. The Lord already knew that if Moses went and told Pharaoh, you know, let us go into our own land, Pharaoh would never, you know, agree. So the Lord gave him the wisdom, say, hey, let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, he never said we're going to return, but it made it look like it's just, you know, just go 3 days. We're not too far away. We just want to get away so that the Egyptians don't see us sacrificing this cow thing. And Moses told Pharaoh these things. He and Aaron did. But Pharaoh had him. As soon as the Lord removes any of the plagues, Pharaoh would harden his heart again. And it was actually the Lord causing his heart to be hardened. Because the Lord wanted to show more signs and more plagues in Egypt. And so Pharaoh hardened his heart again. Neither would he let the people go. And on and on and on. Well, I'm going to read this next one. And that will be it for today. We'll come back, you know, subsequent days, and they'll do the rest one, the rest of them. So we've seen so far these plagues now. So the Lord said unto Moses again, chapter 9, go and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve him. Now it's been about 7 times now as he told him. And if you do not let them go and you still retain them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be upon thy cattle, is in thy field, upon the horses, asses, and camels, and oxen, and upon the sheep, and there will be a very grievous death among them. I mean, sicknesses and so forth. And the Lord will separate between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel's. The Lord set a time. He said, tomorrow this thing shall be in the land. You know. Now, the Lord is beginning to make a separation now, showing that, look, it's not just a pandemic that is going to go across the whole land and all the cattle will be dying and so forth. Otherwise, you know, Pharaoh will say, well, it is nothing. It's just a pandemic. You know. The Lord is going to make sure that only the cattle that belongs to the children of Egypt and the servants of Pharaoh and Pharaoh himself, only those ones are dying. In the land of Goshen where the children of Israel dwelt, nothing would die. So the Lord on the morrow did that very thing. And all the cattle of Egypt began to die. Every one of them. They just began to die. The cattle that was in the field, even their horses, even their asses, their camels, their oxen, and everything, they began to die. A great death in the land. But over in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel dwelt, there was not a single thing of all the animals that died. You know, my goodness. You know, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened yet again. And he would not let the people go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, no matter which signs the Lord showed here in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh would not let them go still. Sometimes he would lie that he was going to let them go. But as soon as the plague was removed and he got some relief, he would harden his heart again. So, on and on, this is what has been going on. I'm going to leave it here and talk about what this means to us. What we see here, there are many stories that we see in the Bible. You just have to look a little closer to see what we might learn from these stories. You know, I mean, we see this contest between the devil and God concerning Job. Job didn't know that something was going on behind the scenes. He became actually a trophy, you know, for a contest that was between God and the devil. And Satan said to God, look, because God first said to him, have you seen my servant Job? That there is none like him, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil and does all these things and has integrity in his heart and so on and so forth. Yeah. And Satan said, yeah, I've seen him. But do you think he serves you for nothing? Isn't it because you've given him rest on every side? you know, take away all that stuff now, and you find out that he's not going to serve you, curse you. And little did Job know that all these things were going on. But when you read these stories, begin to see some things that happen. God bragging about Job. Devil coming there to contest the thing. Well, we see another series of contests here. The Lord knowing, of course, that Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. I mean, he's got millions of people that are slaves in his land, and they do all the hard labor, which the Egyptians don't want to do. They're not going to let them go, you know. But the Lord said, well, you know, I'm going to show him something. And so there's this contest that's ensuing between God and Pharaoh. Moses is caught in the middle of it, you know, with Aaron, his brother. The children of Israel are seeing some things. They're like, my goodness, what's happening? And what will happen next? And this thing just goes on and on and on and on. Every time, you know, who comes out on top? The Lord and his people. And Pharaoh was the one that suffers loss each single time. But yet, by design, the Lord said, I've hardened his heart. So he will not let you go until I have shown all my signs that I want to show in the land of Egypt. But I love this part, and we're going to talk more about it tomorrow or next time. As the Lord begins to say, I will make a distinction between the children of Israel and the children of Egypt. Plagues that began to happen, you know, God began now to separate them. Nobody would feel any of these plagues or suffer any of these plagues from the camp of Israel in the land of Goshen. But these plagues would be all over the people in Egypt. And people are beginning to find out, something is going on here. You know, we're fighting the God of the Jews, you know, and some of his closest advisors would tell Pharaoh, look, this is the finger of God. You can't do this. But Pharaoh said, you know, which God? I am the God here. I'm not letting these people go anywhere. And he continued to harden his heart every single day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the announcement has gone forth. Let my people go, that they may serve me, saith the Lord. Now, this announcement has gone forth, you know, and we will repeat it over and over and over again in this series, you know, and the Lord is going to show great and mighty signs in your life too, to the intent that the Lord will show that he is the all-powerful God and he has come down to set you free. The Lord has declared a time of liberty for us, a time of rest. But the devil is going to fight. He's not going to let it happen. He said, look, I'm not letting them go. But the Lord already knew he's going to do that. So what's the Lord going to do? Step up the signs and wonders. You know, and begin to show the devil even more power of the Lord. But remember, ours is it's similar, but a little bit different. Because today, we have the power. That's right. Jesus told them in Luke chapter, you know, when the Lord was sending them out, you know, and he told his disciples, he said, look, you go out and I'm going to give you power. You know, he said, begin to tell them. He said, look, in Luke chapter 10, begin to tell them. He said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And you have power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus is giving us power today. There's many power, or there are many powers that the devil has. And he knows how to use them. You know, he has the power, you know, to try to take away, you know, your peace. take away all kinds of things, steal your joy, kill your dreams, cause all kinds of problems and havoc. You know, he has the power of the spiritual wickedness in high places at his bidding. He has the powers of principalities and so forth at his bidding. He has lodged himself in the heavens and saying, I see pretty. Well, from whence we must dislodge him and cast him down. And we must come against those forces of darkness. Jesus said we have the power. But the thing is, do we know how to use the power? Well, one way is by declaring the word of God again and again. When Pharaoh had in his heart, and he wouldn't do it, Moses came back and said the same thing again. The same thing again. Let my people go, that they may serve me. And so I am going to pray over the room, and every one of these days that we bring out some of these stories, which I hope you are enjoying and seeing the power of God, we will pray the prayer to set the people free. Now, the devil is not going to agree to let you go. You know, if you think that he's going to agree to let you go, well, think again. That's why we're reading these stories. He will not agree to let you go. No, not by any easy sayings or goings, except that the Lord is going to do something. Let's read what the Lord is going to do. Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, like Pharaoh or the Assyrian or the devil, his goods are in peace. So he thinks. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, then he will take away from him all his armor in which he trusted and will spoil his goods or divide his spoil. I mean, this is basically another spoiler coming in to spoil the spoiler. You know, now, so Jesus said that's how it's done. Pharaoh is the one that is sitting pretty and holding everybody in slavery, putting burdens upon them. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, God's going to show this Pharaoh, man. You know, the last of the things that God is going to show him is that, look, and we'll get to that. Israel is my firstborn. You mess with my firstborn, I'm going to take out yours. I love these stories. You know, so, and of course, the whole time, the Lord will begin to show him and show us. It's the reason why God put all these stories in the Bible. Not only to show Pharaoh and to show the devil, but to show us that God's power is greater. Even when the enemy says no, Jesus said yes. Hallelujah. Pharaoh said no, God said yes. You know, and God could have finished this game at any time, you know, to finish him at any time. But God just dragged it on deliberately to show his power and get himself renowned throughout the whole world. Let the people know all the things that God did, the signs and wonders that he showed in the land of Egypt, we're told. And he could have finished them for the first time around, but he didn't do it. Same thing with the devil today. God can finish this devil at any time. You know, I call it checkmate. God can checkmate that devil at any time, straight out of the, you know, starting blocks. You can checkmate him. But he chose not to do it. You know, we'll let the devil do certain things because there's a reason for it. Pharaoh became a pawn in the hand of the Lord, and he didn't know it. I mean, he just thought that he was not going to give up all the slaves that he had. That's all he thought was happening. But he was a pawn in God's hands. God showing the greater power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the devil that said to you that Did you say that God will give you rest? Did God say, you know, the devil is kind of like he said to Eve. You know, has God said that you will have rest? Has God said that this will be a month of months unto you? Has God said that he will give you rest to enter into your rest and cease from your labors? The devil said, we'll see about that. I'm going to bring more burdens. I'm going to bring more things. You know, the next thing the devil wanted to do is bring evil here and there, bring evil here and there, bring you bad news. But today, I'm going to turn this room in a minute into an old-fashioned prayer session. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody to sit and wait for the devil to wreak havoc before we start fighting back. I'm not going to do that. You know, that's a losing cause. That's not the rules of engagement that God wants us to do now. We're going to take the fight to the devil. Hallelujah. And you are going to secure your borders. You're going to make sure that the devil can't put his hand. We don't want him to put his hand, you know, create havoc for us. Then we'll start praying and doing all these things and so forth, which we must do if that happens. You know, but today we're going to pray to forestall. We're going to pray to prevent all these things. Jesus said, keep them from the evil. They asked him, teach us to pray. And he said, well, one of the things you should pray about is, Lord, lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. Keep us from the evil. And again, in John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying before he left, he prayed this, you know, to the Father. He said, look, I've shown them thy name and all these things. I've declared to them thy truth, thy word is truth, and so on and so forth. And he said to God when he was praying, he said, look, they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. John 17 and verse 14, I have given them thy word. The world has hated them because it hated me also. I'm not of the world, neither are they of the world. Now, he said to the Father, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Now, not just that, you know, when evil comes to them, then you restore them back to their peace. That, you know, God can do that. But also God can keep us from the evil in the first place. Because this is the prayer that Jesus prayed here. And why must Jesus pray this kind of prayer? What do we learn from it? Well, what we learn from it is that it is actually possible that God can keep us from the evil. It's possible. But we got to pray about it. You know, it's not just going to happen unless you pray. Hallelujah. So, and Jesus prayed for us. And we must pray for ourselves too. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He told them, pray, pray, pray. You know, sometimes they wouldn't pray, sometimes they would sleep. You know, so we are going to pray in the room right now. For the Lord to keep us from evil, he will also deliver us from any evil that's already happening. He will deliver us from it. But he will also keep us from other evils yet to come. We can escape. The Bible says the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hides himself. You know, hides himself. Yeah. You know, you hide yourself under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my rock and he's my fortress. In him will I trust, under the shadow of his wings, and so on. So right now, we're going to turn this into an old-fashioned prayer meeting. That means coming after the devil. You know, we're not here, we're not going to be here, you know, pleading or any such thing. No. You know, we're not doing that. But we are going to fight the good fight of faith. You are going to strap on, you know, all that you have to go into battle. Suit up. It's time to suit up. We're coming after the devil. And we're going to protect our territory. We're going to protect yourself, your loved ones, our brethren, and so forth. We're not going to let the devil come and take us or take anything from us. I was watching, you know, the National Geographic and the, you know, Animal and Earth series. And I saw, you know, a band of buffaloes and stuff like that. And there was this prowler, like a lion or whatever, that's trying to get one of them. It's getting ever so closer. And they saw him. These buffaloes, they have a keen sense of, you know, understanding of their danger in the environment. They saw the danger and they formed like, you know, a wall and a, you know, around the little ones that were more of a target. And they fought off the prowler and, you know, yeah, they wouldn't let, you know, come any close. And, you know, some of those buffaloes, they have these great horns. They can gore something. And they just formed a hedge and protected the little ones and so forth. And it, you know, the lion tried to come at them every which way. They wouldn't let him. And then he had to go back and wait and wait and wait and see if some one of them would get out of the herd, you know. And they formed a hedge and they battled the thing. So we're going to form a hedge today in the name of Jesus. Now it's time to pray. Now let me first declare that as we pray now, we're not just using vain repetition. We are declaring the words of God. And these words that we are declaring today, I will declare, first of all, let my people go, saith the Lord, that they may serve me. And all the burdens that you put upon them, I have delivered them from me, that I will cause them to go upright. They shall not be your bondsmen anymore, saith the Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. I will break the Assyrian in my land. And I will tread him underfoot. And I will deliver my people from off of under him in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to invite us to pray. Those of you who are on stage, I want you to pray. In a minute, I'll tell you when we start praying. But let me finish this prayer over the room. And then we're going to start praying. Father, upon every one of your children that is here today, or any listening in, let there be the grace of Almighty God to bring us into a place of rest. That's what the Lord commanded. Grant unto us the power to believe, the faith to believe. Hallelujah. That we are going to enter into this rest that the Lord has promised. And no matter how and what the devil throws at us and in what manner he comes, we stand firm. Using the shield of faith, we quench all his fiery darts in the name of Jesus. And now, O Lord, cause the head of your people to be lifted up. The Lord is your glory and the lifter up of your head. And the enemy has said, aha, aha, I have them where I where I want them. The Lord said, no, I will break you. I will break the Assyrian, my land, in the name of Jesus. Now, one man said, the Lord showed me, Zechariah, he said, he showed me, you know, four horns. And he said, what are these? He said, well, these are the horns that have come to batter down the people of God, you know, in every direction, batter them down with burdens, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places, evil yokes, you know, and so on, you know, and heavy burdens and oppression. These are the four horns. And then the Lord, he looked and he saw again four carpenters and said, what are these? What do they come to do? And the angel said, well, see those horns, you know, the heavy burdens, the numerous yokes, you know, these bands of wickedness, you know, and all, you know, the, you know, the evil yokes and so forth that the devil has put upon God's people? He said, well, those are the horns that have battered down my people. But these carpenters, they have come to fray those horns, to pummel them down. Hallelujah. They are stronger. See? Yeah. The carpenter, he's got the hammer. And then he's going to hammer them down. Now, let there be a release of the carpenter's anointing, the breaker anointing. Glory to God. I can break down the Assyrian. And everything that the devil is trying to do to bring you under bondage again, whereas the Lord has said you'll be free, come against it with the breaker anointing in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, the Lord said he would deliver us from every evil work and will preserve us, you know, unto his heavenly kingdom in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be praise and glory forever and ever. Now the Lord deliver you out of the hand of the devil, that the devil is trying to bring to cause havoc here and there. Let there be peace for you. In the name of Jesus, peace over your lives, peace over your children, peace over your family, peace over your career, your job situation, everything that concerneth you, peace even in your body. Hallelujah. Health to you in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, thank you for hearing us. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.